Well, if you would, please go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. And that's where we're going to be today. We're going to camp out there. We've got a few other places that we're going to look, but I'm just going to give you the addresses, and you can write them down and go look at them later, okay? That way we might be able to not be here for 4 hours, because I know you don't want to listen to me for that long. But as you're turning there, Miss Dot, I'm sorry, Katrina's holding strong. She said, that baby's going to come this morning. I'm just telling you right now, he's going to come this morning just to spite you. And I said, well, I'm going to pray that he doesn't. I'm going to pray that he doesn't. And so Katrina woke up, and I was like, all right, we're okay. We're okay. If you will, read with me here. Read along with me here. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Father, I thank you so much for this day that you've given us. God, that you have given us your word, and we know that it's your word because you tell us over and over that it's your word. Father, and that your word is trustworthy, and that today, Lord, we're going to look at how you've given us this word for a reason and how the Holy Spirit guides us along in a process so that we can become more like you. Father, I pray that you would allow me to step back and you to take center stage. God, that you would speak into our hearts and into our minds your truths, and that we wouldn't walk away here unchanged. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that's doubting their relationship with you or knows for a fact that they don't have one with you, God, that they would take care of that today. Lord, we love you and trust you, I pray. Amen. Immediately here this morning, we are faced with one of the most important passages of Scripture. All scripture is breathed out by God. Why is that important? You see, in my field of study, I have a lot of conversations with people who deny God's existence. And one of the ways that they do that, they try to get you to talk about Jesus and God and prove them without using scripture. And one of the reasons why they say that is because they say scripture's not all completely correct or that it contradicts itself. And they use that to try to disprove Christianity. Well, how do they do that? Here's how. If one scripture in all of the Bible contradicts itself, then our faith falls apart. And let me tell you how that works. We know that these are the words of God, the literal words of God. And God cannot contradict himself. If God contradicts himself, that makes him a liar, right? And we know that Jesus is God. And we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. That's in John. And that Word is Jesus. We know that if the Word of God contradicts itself, then we know that Jesus would contradict himself. And if Jesus contradicts himself, that makes him a liar. If Jesus is a liar, then he's not perfect, right? That means that he has sin. And if Jesus is sinful, then that means that he is not the perfect sin sacrifice and that his death on the cross is completely meaningless. And Paul says, if Jesus Christ's death on the cross is meaningless, then you and I are the most to be pitied in all the world because we are still without hope. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I'm here to tell you that point number one, the Holy Spirit provides truth. The Holy Spirit provides truth. Look at that first part of verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God. Now, that means in the original manuscripts. Now, we're not talking about the street Bible, okay? I don't know if anyone in here has ever heard of the street Bible, but here's how Genesis 1:1 goes. In the beginning, nothing. Then all of a sudden, boom, stuff everywhere. That's the street Bible, okay? It's not exactly the right thing to read, okay? If you're wanting to learn about scripture, don't read the street Bible. It's a little off, okay? But we're talking about the original manuscripts, and the beauty of this here is that word for all means literally individually and as a collective whole. And we know that these words are breathed out by God. Well, if God is breathing something out, then that's got his authority behind it. That's got his characteristics behind it. That means it's all powerful. It means it's all knowing. It means that it's present in every situation. If these are words that are God-breathed and guided by the Holy Spirit, then I submit to you this morning that those are trustworthy and useful for every situation. Well, then some people will come to me and they'll go, well, okay, that might be true for Old Testament, but what about New Testament? Right? Because when these writers are talking, whenever Paul's writing here, he doesn't have the Bible. So how do we know that all of the New Testament is on par with Scripture? How do we know that that should be a part of Scripture? Well, number one, Jesus Christ said that his words were equal to Scripture. That's in John 14:10. That Jesus Christ says that his words are on par with Scripture. The apostles themselves claim that the Holy Spirit told them and taught them what to say. The Holy Spirit guided their words, guided their teachings. That's in 1 Corinthians 2. And in 2 Peter 3:16, Peter puts Paul's writings on par with Scriptures. He says that the people try to distort Paul's teachings the way that they do other Scriptures. Peter puts Paul's writings with Scripture as well. We know that all of the New Testament and the Old Testament have been woven together by the Holy Spirit and give us truth. That means that when you and I are struggling with what to believe, listen carefully, when you and I are struggling with what to believe, if it falls outside of Scripture, it doesn't belong in our lives. Are you following me? If it falls outside of Scripture, it does not belong in our lives. The Holy Spirit provides truth. But what's great is we have this thing in our lives that some of us don't necessarily always recognize at first. We come and we recognize that the Bible's true, but we treat it like a history book, right? I mean, we would say that a history book is mostly true. There may be some things that are a little weighted one way or another, but history books are true. But the problem that we have sometimes as Christians is we take the Bible like a history book. Yeah, everything in it is true, and that's great, and I should believe it, like I should believe the things in history happened. But we don't go through this process of it applying to our lives. We see things and we do things like the Lord's Supper. And we do this because it's something that we've always done, something that we've always been a part of. And we read the Bible whenever it's convenient or when we're supposed to, like when we're at church, because it's what we're always supposed to do. We treat it like a kid in high school taking history at 8 a.m. in the morning. It's pretty tough. We don't allow it to impact our lives. But you see, the process of becoming a Christian, the Holy Spirit provides us truth, is that the beauty of it is it doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit provides us truth, but the Holy Spirit also provides training. He doesn't just let you read it and then leave you alone. Say, okay, figure it out for yourself. Look at the second part of verse 16. It says, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. There's a process here. And I love little processes because it helps my mind. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand things. And so when I can see a process, it really helps me understand Scripture a lot more. And we see this beautiful process here of the Holy Spirit providing us truth, saying this is the truth. And then the Holy Spirit teaches us what that truth is. That's a big deal. And I hope you get that. That's a big deal. He doesn't just give you an organic chemistry book and says, figure it out for yourselves. He gives you this book of truth and says, now let me teach it to you. Let me show you what it means. Let me show you how it should impact your lives. You guys remember that favorite teacher you had in school? That teacher that maybe helped you understand math for the first time? I hated algebra until my senior year whenever I had someone teach me how to actually do it. And I went, oh, it's not that hard. I get it now. The Holy Spirit is a teacher to us. He trains us, teaches us how to see the truth. You see, what is he teaching us, though? That's something that we don't get. See, everything in the Bible, if it's true, and the Holy Spirit then begins to teach it to us, that needs to be a part of our lives. That needs to be something that's ingrained in us. Not something that we understand and then never use it again. As a youth pastor, I don't use Algebra 3 all that often. I just don't. But I promise you something, though, Christians. You're going to use the Word of God more than you think, or you ought to. And if you don't, something's wrong. process doesn't stop there. It continues on to a reproof. That word proof, reproof, means like a rebuke. It means, okay, this is what you have been taught. And you step away from what you've been taught. Reproof means a correction of getting rid of what was wrong and correcting it. You are in this position where we have all been, where we do something and immediately the Holy Spirit convicts us and says that wasn't the correct thing to do. We've been there? Am I the only one? We get to this position in our lives where we just kind of ignore that. That is a process of this training in righteousness that the Holy Spirit does for us. He rebukes us when we need to be rebuked. Amen? And you need to be glad that you have a heavenly Father that cares enough about you that when you stray away from the things that are correct in your life, that he reaches down and says, not that way, child, but this way. A rebuke is not a bad thing, but sometimes it's tough. It hurts. It hurts. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You see, far too often, the thoughts and attitudes of our heart are more like tradition than what we've been taught in truth. We do these things not because we know they're grounded in Scripture. We do them because, well, that's what we've always done. And you want to know something? In Mark, Jesus says that you nullify the word of God through your traditions, which you hand down. Parents, what are you teaching your children? Are you teaching them how to nullify the word of God with your traditions, with the way that you've always done things? Or are you teaching them that the word of God is sharper and it's double-edged, it's sharp, it's living and it's active and it can penetrate if you let it? If you let it. You know, I want you to get something. This process of reproof, it's tough. It is absolutely difficult. A pastor friend that I know at C3 Rowlett in Rowlett, obviously, Texas, he has this thing that he says all the time, and he says, Jesus is better. And he says, the culture says, follow your heart. But Jesus says, I'll give you a new heart, and you can follow me. Culture says to believe in yourself, but Jesus says, deny yourself and trust me. That culture says it's your life, you can do whatever you want to do as long as it pleases you. And Jesus says, I bought your life on Calvary. I am your life now. Jesus Christ is better. But you know what? Sometimes, that sin that's in our life that we love so much. And the word of God comes in and it pierces us. And it says not that, and it surgically removes it out of our life. That's tough. But beautifully, that process does not end. That process doesn't end. Look at the next part. It says correction. Correction. You see, when Paul is talking to Timothy and he uses this word correction, it's a compounded word that literally means to make straight again. The idea here that he's giving to Timothy is that our sin, that stuff that doesn't belong there, the stuff that is outside of the truth that the Holy Spirit gives us, that is causing this rebuke in our life, you see, it warps us and it bends us. And only the truth of Christ, only the truth of the Holy Spirit, only the truth of God, the Word of God, can make us straight again. And it's a return to a right standing with Christ. It's a return to maybe you didn't get that. It's a return to a right standing with Christ. This beautiful image of God saying, I'm not done with you. You messed up, but I've still got more in your life. I know as a Christian, there have been times in my life when I felt too filthy to serve God. When I felt too far gone to be of any use. and he reaches down and he picks me up and he straightens my path again. He fixes me from where I was wrong. He has rebuked me, but then he picks me up. In Micah, it says, do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I have fallen, I will rise again. Though I bear the Lord's indignation, it won't be for long because he will pick me up and lift me out of the mire. A beautiful picture of what Christ does for us. And the Holy Spirit brings us through this process of teaching us and showing us what's wrong in our lives and then correcting us. But get this, people. Where sin floods in, his grace covers. And where sin runs deeper, his grace runs even deeper. And in our lives, it doesn't matter where we're at right now. And if you're like me, you struggle. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. It doesn't matter if it's lust. It doesn't matter if it's pride. It doesn't matter if it's being grumpy. It doesn't matter if it's stealing or cheating or lying. Maybe porn has a stranglehold in your life. Maybe it's drugs or alcohol. Look, where sin comes in, his grace rushes in. And where it runs deep, his grace runs deeper. There is absolutely nothing in our lives that cannot be changed by the truth of Scripture. That is the power that it has in our lives if we let it. Power. The process doesn't stop. It's teaching, reproof, correction, this process of seeing that there are things in our lives that should be there. We are taught the truth of Scripture. We are taught the truth of the master of this universe. And then we are told when we are wrong. And then we are corrected and brought back into the truth. And this whole thing results in this training process, training in righteousness. It's literally exalting the truth and admonishing everything else. It is building up what should be there and getting rid of it. It looks like us becoming more like Christ and less like ourselves. It is a vital part of every one of our lives as Christians. And if it is not there, then we need to check something because something's wrong. If this process of training where we go through correction and reproof and all of this stuff, and if it is not evident in our lives, then something's missing. And you need to figure out what it is. You see, this training process, he removes us and replaces us with himself. We see in Hebrews 4:12, right? We talked about that the word is sharp and double-edged. It's living and it's active and it cuts out the things that doesn't need to be there. And then in Hebrews 10:15-18, he promises that the Holy Spirit will place his words in our heart so that they will stay there. It removes the things that don't need to be there and replaces it with the things that do need to be there. And if we as Christians just try really, really, really hard to get rid of all the stuff that shouldn't be there, we're going to fail and fall every time because then there's still this hole that gets filled up with more junk. And if we're not replacing it with the truth of the Word of God, then we are doing absolutely no good. You see this training process? This training process breeds a person who is good at something. This training process breeds a proficiency in you and I. But it doesn't stop there. We don't just get trained so we can be a fire extinguisher behind some glass door. Break in case of emergency. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring us through this process so that you and I can just sit inside of this glass case looking pretty, so that we can sit in a pew and brag about how much we've grown in our Christian walks, so that we can say, I attended church this many times. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring us through this process to glorify ourselves. The Holy Spirit brings us through this process so that we may be proficient and able to use the tools that he equips us with. Look at verse 17. You see, the Holy Spirit provides tools. Well, what are the tools? What's the purpose? Why tools? Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We've been given tools. You see, Ephesians 6:17 says to take the salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the truth of Scripture. We've been given the tool of Scripture, the truth of the word of God. We've been given the fruits of the Spirit. That's in Galatians 22. Let me try that again. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Those are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. I think I'll left one out there. You get my point. Another tool that he gives us are our spiritual gifts: service, wisdom, knowledge, teaching. The Holy Spirit equips us with tools, trains us in these tools so that we can be proficient to do every good work. What's our work? To make disciples. Our work is to make disciples. Jesus didn't ask us to. Jesus didn't suggest it. And Matthew, Jesus commanded it. That we are to go and make disciples, teaching them in all things. Do you see this process? This process is one of God coming into our lives. He's spoken the word. He's given us the truth. We're taught this truth. We're trained in this truth. We're given tools to use, and not just so that we can sit back. We are given tools so that we can go into a lost and dying world and help them pick up the pieces that have been broken by sin. And far too often as Christians, we get so caught up on the morality of certain issues that we forget that we have been called to a mission by Jesus Christ himself. And that should break our hearts. That we sit up on a high horse sometimes as Christians and we say, look at them. That's nasty. That's repulsive. It's repugnant. There's absolutely no way that should be allowed. Jesus would be down there with those people, helping them pick up the broken pieces of their lives that sin shattered. When they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery to Jesus, he didn't throw a stone at her. He drew a line in the sand and he said, get up and sin no more. Christians, do we throw rocks? We've forgotten our mission? You see, here's something I want you to understand. Without the Holy Spirit, none of this is even possible. Without the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, all of our good deeds are filthy rags. And it's only by the Holy Spirit that people come to know Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this. Are you being trained? Are you actively participating in the training process? Are you using your tools? Because let me tell you something, a soldier that doesn't know how to use his tools of war is useless. A football player that doesn't know how to play football is useless. Maybe this morning you're sitting here and you're recognizing, like me, whenever I went through this process, that there's not enough training going on in my life. I need to be more actively involved in the training that the Holy Spirit's trying to bring me through. I need to participate in those works that I have been commanded to do. I need to use the gifts, the tools that God has given me. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never experienced this training process. You're hearing it and understanding it for the first time because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, I want you to understand that we're going to give a time of invitation, allow you to rectify those things. And as the musicians begin to play, if you would bow your head and close your eyes, I'm going to ask you a few questions to help you settle some things in your mind. You see, the first one is this. Where are you at in your training process? Do you go through the complete process, or do you stop at one of them because it's too hard? Are you so morally minded that you've forgotten your mission? See, sometimes we get to a place where we need to be rebuked of that. And you're going to have an opportunity this morning to do that, to go into the correction stage and get back to where you need to be. Or maybe this morning, you've never experienced that process at all. You don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Brother Rick and myself will be up here to receive you and talk to you and answer any questions that you may have.